Hey, Jim. You know them old sugar daddy. They be tricking. They tell them girls.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
Yeah. Stacks on deck. Patron on ice. And we can pop bottles all night. Baby, you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
I said you can have whatever you like. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, June 30th, 2017. June 29th, 2023.
Why did you say 2017? That sounds very specific. You want to go back there?
2017 was a good year for me, so I wouldn't mind. I was still I didn't have so many cats, but you know, they used to call me Shannon Two Cats. I'm up to three plus. There's an asterisk next to it. My name is Shannon Young. This is Podzilla After Dark on the Podzilla 1985 Network. With me tonight. The master of ceremonies, Jesse Kimball.
I really enjoyed how you said pod. Could you do that again for me?
Podzilla 1985.
Yeah, that was very fun for me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I like to put fun things in. We did a Halloween show once upon a time, and I started the show out by going like, you know, welcome to Podzilla. You know, I'm not going to do it again. It takes so much for me to get through shit like that without laughing or going, this is fucking stupid. Lindsay Wolfgang is also here with us.
Hi.
With extra cat.
I have a shoulder warmer tonight.
It's a fun story. We'll get to here in a second. A major player in said story, Shelby Kimball.
My face isn't swollen anymore.
Has nothing to do with the cat, ladies and gentlemen. And then Double H.
He got me while I was drinking my tea. Shannon, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're... Was that from the new indie?
Think about that. No, it's from the old indie.
Oh, it's been a while. I legitimately haven't watched Indiana Jones.
I guess from Temple of Doom.
Dude,
it's either Temple of Doom or Last Crusade.
I haven't watched Indiana Jones in probably 20 plus years.
Sounds like a you problem.
Well, it's just strange because normally with movies that I really like, I watch them at least once a year or so. So, you know, that says something. No, I'm kidding. I'm
about
kidding.
You. Yes,
no, I'm kidding.
It does.
No, it's
about you specifically.
No.
This is that bit you were doing last night. No.
It's a good series. Here's my promise to you, Aaron.
The new one is too.
Tonight.
Don't promise him because you'll break it again.
Aaron, here we go. Promise it tonight. 45 minutes. 45 minutes, Aaron.
Oh shit!
And we're out.
45 minutes.
I mean, unless you're jumping right in the topic, that ain't happening.
Well, I have a little bit of housekeeping, and then a motherfucker of the week, and then straight into it. No political talk tonight. No ranting about video games. We're gonna motherfuck topic.
I heard you don't even play video games no more.
I still play fucking video games.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, a little bit of Fallout 4. Not right now, though.
Well, that's... No, you got things, to do.
Got things to do. So the housekeeping aspect of this is something I can't wait to announce it, so I want to announce it now.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, so last night, finally, I got Lindsay to
watch. This morning.
Well, no, originally. It starts...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it starts at about 11:30 last night where... I get off Diablo, we're all playing, and Bob is trying to tempt me to stay. Of course, World Boss is up in 22 minutes. I can't do it right now, Bob. Lindsay is going to... She's finally agreed to watch Evil Dead Rise. I purchased the 4K edition yesterday at the Walmarts, and I've talked her into watching it. She purposely didn't watch it with me, so I ended up watching it originally in theaters with Lindsay, but not the same Lindsay. It was a weird, like, different multiverse Lindsay. It was very strange. So last night, I convinced Lindsay to watch it, and it took her 30 minutes to get out there because she was taking a bath, and she took the bath for an hour and a half, and then there was 30 minutes of washing off. It was a two-hour ordeal, honestly. It was longer than the movie, but I could have done the World Boss is what I'm saying. Point is, she watched Evil Dead Rise with me last night. Don't want to spoil the ending, but after the ending, I remember looking at her, and we talked about it. I was like, man, where the hell do you go from there? Like, what would happen after this went down? Like, how would you explain this? And I thought, man, that might be an interesting show. Like, I love movies. People think I love video games. I like video games, but I love movies. So I got this idea for what if we did a podcast where we talked about what happened after the credits roll. You know, so many of these movies, they have these fantastic scenarios, and then they leave, like, at the conclusion of that particular, what would you say, Hunter? That particular act, obviously, but that particular scenario, I guess? I just use that word.
I spaced out. Say it again.
I don't even remember. You what
lost
I said
me.
Now.
You lost me.
I lost
myself. I'm trying
myself.
To figure out what you were asking me a question for. Like, basically, you're saying after the end,
after the credits,
the denouement of a film.
Yeah.
Like what happens basically after the falling action and the resolution? What happens to those characters afterward? We were talking about it as like a like. If you do a post-credit scene, apparently it's occasionally referred to as like a stinger.
It's a stinger.
Or something like that. Yeah. And so we're not doing post-credit scenes. We're basically just saying like, it could be that. It could be one scene. It could be an entire story. It could be a full continuation. The gist of it is, again, what happens to this world, these characters, this story, after the story itself ends.
Right. When the credits roll, what's happening? And a perfect example of this... I don't know if everyone's seen the movie. I don't want to do Evil Dead Rise because that's the first movie I want to do, which means I'll be lending Hunter my copy. Actually, you have Max, right?
Yeah, it's on Max. We're going to watch
on Max.
It.
Yeah. But an example I can think of is like the movie Ready or Not. Has everyone seen Ready or Not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
The one with Samara Weaving where she marries into the family and they basically hunt her down overnight because they think they're...
Yeah.
So the ending to that film... The family explodes into a red mist because of this demon thing that they made a pact with and they failed to live up to their end of the bargain. And then the cops pull up at the end of the movie. She's covered in blood, smoking a cigarette, and then the movie ends. And it's like, okay, well, she survived the ordeal and she outsmarted the family. But then what happens? How do you fucking explain that to the cops? That
she's got like 70 years of legal battles trying to be like, I did not massacre all these people.
I
mean, in complete fairness, like her version of the story is the only one that will ever get told. So like, she could easily get away with it just by saying like, they tried to kill me and I defended myself. And that's what happened to him.
And then they ask, well, where are the bodies? Well, yeah. They exploded.
That's harder, yeah.
They exploded into a fine paste.
They exploded, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me again exactly how you killed them because I don't believe you now.
Also, you killed the children too?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
They were attacking me too.
They also attacked me. The small children did. Yes. And the housekeepers? Yes. Everybody attacked me. So
even the chauffeur?
Right. So what happens after that? So I thought of that. I texted Hunter at 1:30 in the morning as I'm not sleeping. Yes. And I'm like, I felt like Charlie Murphy. I was like, I got this great idea for a show, man. So in the next company,
so at 7:30 in the morning I saw it and it was like yes this is what we're doing, this is the show. Now
we've talked about cutting back on doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted because our hearts, we're really just not into it anymore, especially with everything that's happened with Vince McMahon. So I don't know if this will be a straight replacement for PW or maybe we'll do it like every other week like we did with I Want to Believe and other shows that we did on Mondays.
A special.
Two a month, something like that. But in the next couple of weeks, we will have a new name for the show, and it's going to be that. We'll pick one movie. We'll talk about the movie. We'll talk about the history of the movie. We'll talk about like how we like it, you know, our feelings on it. And then we'll talk about the ending and what happens after the ending. And I think it's going to be a fun show. So look forward to that.
I like it.
That's coming out. Other than that, it's just the motherfucker of the week this week. Jesse, who do you got on tap as a motherfucker? I'll tell you who. The Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. They did that thing where they built up a bunch of goodwill credit, and they're like, hey, look at all these good things we're doing. Don't pay attention. Try to slip this one by you, and it didn't work.
I feel like, what is his name? Sam Robinson, I think is his name, that he's on I Think You Should Leave, and he does a lot of stuff with...
Tim Robinson.
Oh, what is his name then? It's Sam something. Sam Richardson. Sam Richardson's his name. I feel like I feel like him in that skit where they're picking the baby, you know, and he's just like, oh man, yeah, fuck this all up. That's what the Supreme Court did today when they overturned affirmative action when it came to college admission. So colleges can no longer take race in as a factor when, you know, admitting students for diversity's sake. In fact, I think was it Cody that put it in the chat? Someone put it in the chat that Clarence was it you that Clarence Thomas? What did Clarence Thomas say?
Oh no, Cody put that in. I put the original bit in. Cody added it's a quote from the Wall Street Journal. Well, Clarence Thomas said, quote, "I've heard the word diversity quite a few times, and I don't have a clue what that means."
it's almost comical in a way.
It was brought up to me earlier that the way many people were discussing this is that Clarence Thomas climbed that ladder and then pulled it up behind him.
Yeah.
Like, no. No, I'm going to use this now. Nobody else.
To give you a preview for tonight's top five, it's that part where Conan O'Brien is dancing in the chair and Bart starts dancing and Conan goes, "Stop. Only I may dance.
Only I may dance."
Sit perfectly still. I do have I said I wasn't going to talk about politics, so I do have a runner-up for Motherfucker of the Week, and it's Jesse Kimball, because I now have a third cat because of Jesse Kimball.
And I don't.
That's how it works. I was gonna say, I love how this is not Shelby's fault. No. But then when she added "and I don't," that's it. That's how it fits. That's
the way. Our dear Shelby Chan was tasked with taking care of a very cute, very tiny little kitten at her place of business, and Jesse, rightfully so, you know, we already have this responsibility. We can't get another cat. And so I went over to help.
Says rightfully so.
I'm trying to play both sides.
How you come out on top.
That's
always,
how I come out on top, is I play both sides.
Right, you play both sides.
You can't tell what you're coming out. You're playing both sides.
Yeah. So I go over to Jesse's house today to help him give this very adorable kitten a bath and to take it to a shelter. Where both of us agreed, we have no doubt this thing will get adopted because it's the cutest cat, one of the cutest cats I've ever seen in my life. Well, the problem is I'm a fucking sucker. I've got sucker on my face. I am a giant lollipop. And
hey, Shannon, you didn't explain how he lost the cat before this.
I wasn't going to mention that part, but Shelby, please explain.
So my wonderful husband, who tells me no.
Fuck, all right, I regret this already.
You cannot handle the responsibility of a third cat. I'm going to take it to a shelter in the morning, proceeds to get up, open the thing in the morning, go inside to get a bath ready for this cat who has shit itself overnight, and comes back outside, the cat's gone.
That happened.
Oh, no.
That's accurate.
I was in the house for maybe 30 seconds.
It's a baby. Now, you don't leave a baby
now,
alone.
Now, hold on.
Yeah, he was happy.
You
he
never
was,
leave a man behind.
To Jesse's
he
credit.
He was happy. He was drinking water.
To Jesse's credit, it's not like he didn't care. Jesse, as he explained to me, freaked out. And, like, searched high and low for this poor thing, and then had to send a very awkward text to Shelby saying, "The cat's gone," which is extremely uncomfortable and sad. And I've known Jesse Kimball for many years, and he is as much of an animal lover as anybody else, so I want to point that out. But Shelby came home, she found the cat, and...
Immediately.
Yeah, I just called for it, and it was like, "Hey, what's up?"
I went over today to help Jesse clean it, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm gonna send Lindsay a picture. And then I texted Lindsay and said, "Do you want to see it before we take it to the shelter?" She said, "Yes, I'm of course, because I'm an idiot, I'm a sucker." I took it home, and that was all she wrote. The kitten is currently laying on Lindsay's shoulder. It is a
very happily snoozing up
it
there.
It is a sleepy kitty.
Finally got it to eat some too, so
yeah, it's starting to act like a cat now, because it's been in that box, Shelby, that it was in when you were here, like, the whole day.
Aww.
But then it started to get adventurous, and now it's crawling out of the box. It doesn't want to stay in the box. It wants to be around people.
Well, I mean, when we left the room earlier, and then he started screaming.
Yeah. The best part was he started to go to the bathroom in the box, because he's not litter trained yet. We've had, you know, between the two families, we've had him for 12, 13 hours. So... Lindsay takes him to the bathroom, starts to clean him up, and she puts him on the ground, and as she's getting stuff ready to give him a little bath, he walks out into the hallway where our two cats are, Ember and Croft, who, if you guys have seen the show, you've heard us talk about him, you may have even seen him, Shannon Two Cats. Well, they see this little tiny kitten, which is about 1/10 of their size, and the moment it advances on him at all, they both start screaming and running, because... It is apparently a nightmare kitten, which is why I named it Bale, after the Lord of Destruction, but I should have named it Diablo because apparently it's the Lord of Terror.
Yeah, there's enough cats that have been saddled with the name, or I mean, chihuahuas that have been saddled with the name Diablo. You don't have to do that to a cat.
I think
I like Bale for this little cat.
I do too.
I'm good with Bale.
Bale's good. So it's Croft, Ember, and Bale inside. And then on the outside, we have a very large, sweet, friendly kitty, which we'll probably bring in at some point too, named Bean. And at this point, it's like, Shannon, Sergeant, you lost your goddamn mind.
You're the one who just wants to have the giant cat salvation place. So.
I do, and I'm going to create a new video game called Catsylvania, where...
It's literally just Castlevania, but with a cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, and a cat Dracula.
Cat-cula?
Cat-cula?
No, you just replaced the count with cat.
I'd like cat to back Dracula. Out of the bit. Yeah, cat Dracula sounds better. And then it's offspring, Alucat.
Alucat.
What were you going to say, Shelby? Before we move on.
I was going to say, and then a wild hunter appears in this story.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Jesse, I don't know if you know this part. So
Shelby did tell me, yeah.
So Shelby and I, we leave the cat with Lindsay. We go to Petco to get supplies for the kitty. And as we're pulling into Petco. We tried to get to Petco. And as we pulled in, Shelby's like, is that Hunter and Sarah? I was like, no, I can't be. And then I had to stop and look again and go, well, I'll be goddamned. So... Okay.
We were 1 hour out from seeing the new Indiana Jones, and Sarah was. We actually ran into her aunt, so she's talking to her, and I look over at this green car. I'm like, "That looks like Shannon's car." And I look in the window. Yeah, that looks like Shannon. And I walk around. I go, "That is not Lindsay.
That's not Lindsay.
Who is that? What's happening?
That's a Shelby." Oh.
And then we tried to get in the back, and Shannon remembered that there's a ton of shelves in the car.
Yes, I forgot about the shelves, Lindsay.
The part where he's holding
shelves, they're pedestals.
You said they're pedophiles?
Pedestals.
They're pedestals.
Pedestals?
They're going to get used as nightstands. Yes.
To me, that just sounds like the guy from Subway's fecal matter. That's pedestals.
Pedestals.
Never mind.
No. Do you not know what a pedestal is?
I gotta go change the name. Do you mean pedestal?
Pedestal?
Yeah. Yes.
You're saying it like someone from Pennsylvania. Pedestal.
Well, she is from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Again, I am originally from a different state. We say things differently. I'm sorry.
She said pop instead of soda.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts. I had to beat her
until
she finally stopped saying it.
That's all. Like, that's in a lot of places. Colorado was the same way. The first time I tried to explain to someone that the soda machine ate my money, the look they gave me. I tried to get a soda, ate my money. I went to like the secretary,
trying
like,
to get a what?
The soda machine ate my money. She looked at me like I was like fucking stupid. Just like, what?
She hooked.
You mean the pop machine, don't you know?
She hooked her arms
around
Jesse.
This
was
when I discovered that they called it pop in Colorado. I had not experienced it to this point, so I was just like. Pop. The soda machine, you know, I put a dollar in, tried to get, I legitimately, as a sixth grader, was looking at this grown-ass woman like, the soda machine. I put a dollar in, get a Coke, and it didn't give me a Coke.
The Colonel.
and that's when she was like, oh, okay, and like, it gave me money to get like another one.
I mean, I didn't call it soda till college because Ariel called it soda because she's from the eastern side of the state, and like, the eastern side of Pennsylvania says soda, the western side says pop.
I had an ex-girlfriend named Anna. She would call she asked me if I wanted to go swimming with her in the creek. I'm like, what the fuck's a creek?
You mean
the creek? God damn.
Yeah, that's redneck talk right there.
Something went wrong there because Vina was as far from redneck as possible. She was just simple. Anyway, she was actually brilliant. I'm kidding. She was fucking brilliant.
I kind of prefer that one. The other one's just a sound effect.
Creek. My mom said speedometer once. I never forgave her.
my grandpa used to say to roll the winder down. Roll down the winder. Yep.
When Jurassic Park was out, I really wanted the collector's cup. So I asked my mom. I was like a little fucking kid. And I'm like, hey, get the Jurassic Park cup with it. And she, you know, you go to the drive-thru and she's like, can I get a Jurassic Jurassic. I'm like, today, Junior, come on. I need my McDonald's. Lindsay, what's the top five for me?
And your Jurassic Park cup.
Our top five tonight is our top five favorite Simpsons moments.
Top five Simpsons face of food. Whoa.
Yeah.
Top five
favorite
Simpsons moments. But before we get to that, let's take a break for station identification. Hunter, let's read off the names from that legendary chat in case people aren't able to make tomorrow's horse time.
Usually I have this pulled up. All right, well, not many have changed, but here's my favorite part. They're all very funny to me right now.
Yeah.
So let's see if I can get through this without laughing. Ace of Gray's name is Hummus Steve. Cody is Crab Jackson.
Crab Jackson. That's my favorite.
My name is still Bird Jorgensen.
Other than that.
Bob is the multiverse of rib cages. Jesse is currently Tony's Oysters in a Kanza. Kaz is Hot Dog Hero. Shannon is Boomer Quanger.
Boomer Quanger.
Stephen Bright is the idea of a walrus. Tanner is Potato Horn.
And what's a potato horn?
Zach Kirkus is Johnny Killgun.
I need to ask where did Boomer Quanger come from? We just played it the other day.
It's from Mega Man.
That's right.
X. Mega Man X. That's what it was. Yes, that is.
We watched Ace. Oh yeah, because we had the big get together on Saturday at Hunter's house, and Ace of Gray fucking smashed through Mega Man X in like an hour.
Destroyed it.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
Got the Hadouken and everything.
Yeah.
And did everything.
And then I beat Tanner at Cards Against Humanity. So, and Shelby came in second. So Tanner got like third.
Tanner was talking a lot of shit.
He was, and then he lost.
Spinning his title.
I wish I had a title belt.
He said that, and I remember going, we're doing what? Yeah, I got to defend my title. What title? Oh, my Cards Against Humanity.
Sheriff of Paris. Okay.
How do you see yourself within the confines of a party, Tanner?
Exiled by Cody. Anyway,
that's a very specific joke.
That's a very specific joke. Let's get to the top five real quick. We have 23 minutes. So, Jesse Kimmel, let's start with you. Number one.
All right. I want to make sure that nobody takes it because it's one of my all-time favorite Simpsons bits.
Oh, God damn it.
it's probably not one of yours. Mr. Barrett, you have 30 minutes to move your car. You have 10 minutes. Your car has been impounded. Your car has been crushed into a cube. You have 30 minutes to move your cube.
Ring, ring, ring.
Is it about my cube? That gets me every fucking time. I always laugh hysterically. And it's just the delivery of the, is it about my cube?
I love the confidence.
Fact that he just like does not care that his car is now a cube.
That is, for the record, so I don't know why I did this. I wrote the season and episode numbers, so that is season 7, episode 17, because I have mine listed by quotes, and then the version I have on here just says, is it about my cube?
Yeah, I also have the episode number and the season on here.
I think the name of that episode is Homer the Smithers.
Yes, Homer the Smithers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the episode where Smithers is forced to take a vacation, and Homer takes over.
To go along with that, I hope I don't steal this from anybody. I don't think anyone's going to pick this part too. But the part where Homer cooks breakfast for him, and he starts by like he tries to cook something, it catches on fire. He tries to do another thing in the microwave, and it catches on fire. And then he pours a bowl of cereal, and it catches on fire. And then to cap it all off, he takes Mr. Burns of donuts, and Burns knocks away and says, "I said no ethnic foods." Oh, all right, Shelby, number one.
Good start.
The Springfield Files. I like it.
Just the whole episode.
Yeah, I do. It, like, honestly, it's just really kind of cool. It's one of those Mr. Burns episodes where, like, he's not really a main character, but you get to see a side of him you don't really get to see. This is an episode where, like, he's going through all of his treatments, and it makes him really loopy, and he kind of glows because he's constantly in a nuclear power plant. And
well, yeah.
All kinds of other shit.
It's one of my favorite quotes.
Love. It's bringing love. Kill it.
Break its legs.
Shannon, what's this test for?
Nothing. I just thought he could stand to lose a little weight.
His jiggling is almost hypnotic.
Yes. It's like a lava lamp.
For the record, I also had this on here, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw this one out. Shannon will appreciate this one. Look at this, Scully. There's been another unsubstantiated UFO sighting in the heartland of America. We've got to get there right away.
Well, there's also this shipment of drugs coming into... what did she say?
New Jersey.
Yeah.
G. Mulder, there's also this report of a shipment of drugs and illegal weapons coming into New Jersey tonight. And Mulder just goes, I hardly think the FBI is concerned with matters like that.
As a huge fucking X-Files fan, as well as a huge Simpsons fan, that episode was awesome. That is literally, I think, one of the if not the my favorite Simpsons episodes of all time. It's just that good. It's I love when the X-Files makes fun of itself. It's why the Jose Chunks from Outer Space is my favorite episode of the X-Files. All right.
When they're doing Burns' treatment, I'm sorry, and Dr. fucking Nick goes, Don, what are you? You won't feel a thing till I jam this down your throat.
And then at the very end, when Burns says, I don't bring you love, I bring you famine, and then he just goes, time for a booster! And he just stabs him.
I see him.
All right. Lindsay's got some cat issues there. Let's go to Hunter.
Thought the cat was going to fall off the back of the chair.
This one, honestly, is one of my favorites, mostly because of, and not even the episode, but the way that Shannon delivers it is from season 3, episode 10. This is Flaming Moe's. when Moe is serving the french fries, and he has to do it the second time for one of the twins. And instead of doing the whole thing, Uncle Moe, here I am. Thank you, ma'am. He just does the, Uncle Moe. Yeah, here's fries, your fries.
Eat them.
Fries, eat them.
It's your birthday.
Every time.
It's your birthday too? We're twins. Hey, here's Uncle Mo. Here's your fries. Eat them. Just walks away.
Thank you, ma'am. Eat your fries. Eat them. That whole episode also has a lot of great bits. In that same situation, he does the... That's where the... you got the stink lines and everything.
Oh, and the... and the he's staying with them while they're spraying for potato bugs.
No, that's a different episode.
Are you sure?
Isn't it?
No, because they...
Yeah, because... No, the potato bugs is Bart sells his soul.
That's the same episode.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because he
it's not. I have it right here in front of me.
Dude, I promise he opens the restaurant, and Bart and Homer go to the restaurant after, and Bart runs away to get his soul back, and Homer's like, your spaghetti and moe balls are getting cold.
You're right, but now it's driving me nuts, because I have season 7, episode 4 as the spraying for potato bugs.
Yeah, because Flamin' Moe's, that was earlier. That was like season 3 or so. I thought when you said Flamin' Moe's, I was like, wait a minute.
What is season 7, episode 4 then?
No, it's the same. The restaurant is not Flamin' Moe's. He's turning into the family restaurant is Bart Sells a Soul.
Right, that's what
I'm
saying.
So it's the same episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think
that's where I got it mixed up. Yeah, yeah. Flamin' Moe's is
I literally just loaded the episode and scrolled through it. Yeah. It's the same episode.
Yeah. That's where I got confused. Yeah, that's all the same thing. All right, well, I'll go ahead and take potato bugs off here since Shannon said that too.
Bah, fuck. I'm glad you did 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to be out of them.
50 seasons.
Everyone so far.
50 seasons. We're all picking from the same 6 seasons.
The only good ones are from the first 7.
I actually have one on here from season 22. I didn't realize it, but anyway.
I don't think I've watched anything past 10.
Well, since we're talking about it, I'll just get it out of the way now. It's not quite in the order, but it's season 22, episode 20. It's Homer Scissorhands. I don't remember anything about the episode, but I always remember this quote. It's Milhouse falls in love with another girl, and Lisa gets jealous. And she suspects that the girl's just using him, so she, like, sabotages their relationship. And at the end, Milhouse just looks at her and says, you don't want me to be with you. You don't want me to be with somebody else. How miserable do I have to be before you're happy? And I was always like, fuck! That is a...
And she just kiss him after.
And she kisses him after, and then he's like, does this mean you like me? And she says, like, I don't know. Yes, maybe. I don't know. Just don't give up. It was cute.
And it was the second iteration of Everything's Coming Up Milhouse.
Yes. Yeah. That
also, importantly, like, Lisa wasn't trying to sabotage the relationship. Lisa assumed that there's, like, because the girl was, like, the most popular girl in school. Yeah. And Lisa was like, surely
there's no reason she would like Milhouse.
Right. So she was trying to investigate and see what she was up to, what she was planning on doing to poor Milhouse. And ultimately, yes, she does sabotage that relationship.
And Milhouse finally gets his balls up and talks to Lisa. Just that line of, you don't want me to be with you. You don't want me to be with somebody else. How miserable do I have to be before you're happy? I will always carry that with me in the back of my pocket one day, and I'll use it. Anyway, Lindsay.
I'm going to go with one that I can't give you the episode for because it is no longer in rotation on any of the streaming services. And from what I have learned on subsequent video releases, it has not been on there. But Happy Birthday, Lisa, when Bart calls Lisa a song for her birthday. But yeah, because of the Michael Jackson stuff, it's not in rotation where it can be watched.
What's funny about that?
That's a good episode.
Michael Jackson did. So what's crazy is Michael Jackson did the talking voice, but he did not do the singing voice, as
singing
weird
voice,
as that sounds. And he didn't even do it under his own name. He did it under a pseudonym, fake name. And then years later, when they did the Itchy Scratchy episode, which we half watched earlier, they Lisa says, "Oh, and the guest stars, Dustin Hoffman, Michael Jackson."
They didn't use their names, but
you
could
tell.
It
was them. Fucking classic. All right, Jesse, back at the top of the order, number two.
All right, I'm gonna go with good because I got a hot date tonight.
Fuck,
a date. Dinner with friends.
Dinner alone.
Watching TV alone.
Watching TV alone.
All right.
I'm gonna sit home and ogle the ladies of the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Sears catalog.
Now, will you unhook this already? I don't deserve this kind of shabby treatment.
Since we've already mentioned the episode, the only better fucking lie detector scene is just Mulder and Scully setting the whole world going, "Now, Mr. Simpson, you understand what we're about to do, right?"
Yes.
Yes. And it just explodes.
It just explodes.
And the confidence of how sure he is.
Yes. Boom. All right, Shelby.
Oh, man.
Also, that was a season 8, episode 10, for the record. Which is,
Deep Space Homer.
Careful, they're ruffled.
Season 5, episode 15. My favorite part about this, though, is like how ridiculously smart Barney is when he's not an alcoholic. Yep. And how good at everything he is. And then, like, he has one sip of non-alcoholic wine and it just...
He
jettisons that bitch in a jetpack.
Yes. And my favorite part of that is as his face turns back into Barney, he just goes, "It begins."
Yeah.
That I hope it's on his list, but the part where Homer keeps calling people asking about Tang, he calls President Clinton, "I figured you'd know where to get some Tang. Shut up." All right, Hunter.
Season 4, episode 17. Shannon, the doorbell's ringing. Who do you think's there?
Fuck, I don't remember this.
It's goons.
Oh, goddamn.
Hired goons. And then the continuation one, Burns says that he just prefers the personal touch of hired goons.
Hired goons.
I say every time that this comes up, that entire sequence exists because the way that Dan Castellaneta says hired goons was so funny to the writing staff that they were like, "We're going to make him say it over and over again." He just sounds so confused. Hired goons.
This is
one of my favorite bits.
Wasn't that the episode where it was the union, right?
Yes.
Where Homer becomes the union.
Yeah, basically Homer becomes the president of the union, and Burns is trying to get him on his side so that he can convince the union guys to not ask for so much.
The dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Yeah Lisa
dental
needs braces.
Plan.
How much does this pay? Nothing. Unless you're crooked. Woohoo! I'm gonna bring it down here for a second. I've noticed that a couple of mine are actually, at least two are sad. This is by far to me my favorite moment in The Simpsons ever. That strictly comes from a place of losing my mother. It's season 7, episode 8, Mother Simpson, at the very end when Mona Simpson kisses Homer goodbye, and then he just sits on the hood of his car through the entire end credits just watching the stars. Not going to choke up talking about this.
It's such a good scene.
It's just so subtle. Like, The Simpsons isn't really a subtle show. So for that moment of him just sitting there heartbroken because he finally found his mom and she's gone again, and just sitting out in the desert watching the stars, that always got me. That always got me a lot. So not a funny moment.
You know, they bring her back in a later season?
I think they brought her back a couple times, and I think she dies eventually, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, which, again, with The Simpsons, man, after the first 10 to 12 seasons, they took all the stuff that was really good back then and kind of bring it back, and it's never the same. It's never as good, obviously.
So it did, like, because I have still been doing the, like, watching the through the whole series thing.
Yeah.
And it definitely dips in quality, like, real bad for a while. But, you know, where we're at now, it's actually started to pick back up. There's been a lot of really, really good moments. Like, yeah, that episode, the Homer Scissorhands that you were talking about, like, that was, we just watched that, like, last week.
There's a lot of good newer episodes.
Yeah. I have a YouTuber I watch that she goes over Simpsons stuff. That's all her content is. And she's gone over a lot of the newer episodes and basically kind of bringing up that they're kind of going through a renaissance again of like good episodes.
Well, Matt Groening has nothing to do with it at this point. He's just collecting residual checks. He's over there getting Futurama back. I think there's different guys that take it on now, and it's different from the guys that took it on during the like bad period where they just tried to make it really offensive, and they tried to make it Family Guy basically, and it failed, because if I wanted to watch Family Guy, I'd watch fucking Family Guy. You know, I watched The Simpsons.
There's more than enough of that to go around.
Yes.
Like, we got enough Family Guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Lindsay, number two.
I'm going to season 5, episode 14, Lisa versus Malibu Stacy. When she's getting on the phone calling, the company, and Marge is just, like, defeated, being like, please don't do what you did when you called the Keebler factory.
it's because she dumped blood on the Keebler people.
Shannon, you'll recall, this episode is also the one with Learn from a Professional Kid. hey! All right, Krusty, we're just about ready.
What the? hey, kids, here comes Sideshow Mel. Sideshow Mel.
Take two.
it's also the episode with, I forget, it might just be G.I. Joe, where he like breaks into her house and like holds her and she's like, release me from your kung fu grip.
Yeah.
And one of my all-time favorite parts, when Bart is trying to insult Lisa, like, call her Lisa Loudmouth, and no one's listening to him, so he gets louder and louder. He starts hopping on the couch. He's like, someone pay attention to me. All right, back at the top, Jesse.
Bart's doing a thing.
Record time, all 7 right. minutes left.
I'm going to do, this is just one of my all-time favorite episodes of The Simpsons, from season 8, episode 8. I think Ned Sanity is what the episode's called.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricane Nettie.
Hurricane Nettie.
Yeah. Hurricane Nettie, that's it.
Preview for specifically
right now. Yeah. His parents, like, when they're trying to take him to therapy and stuff, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. Like, that's just one of like my all-time favorite moments in an episode that is stacked with like great moments.
Well, especially his like rant.
When Ned finally like snaps on everybody and just goes fucking nuts.
Teaser, be sure to tune in to tomorrow's Horse Time to hear that rant as performed by
The Not Ready for Podcast players.
Today. It's ready to go.
Yeah. So we're going to skip ahead to Shell Boo.
The episode where Lisa almost gets Ned to admit to natural selection. Just
God
that interaction.
Bless.
So you naturally selected it, eh? Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there, Lisa.
Almost got me.
Almost got me.
I hope no one. I hope
wasn't
no one
it like the goldfish that had the crosses on them?
I think so. Yeah.
The episode where Homer becomes really smart, and he goes to Flanders because they took the crayon out of his brain. And he goes to Flanders and he says, oh, by the way, I've discovered and written out proof that there is no God. Here you go. And Ned just looks at it and says, yep, this is airtight. Better get rid of this. And he eats it. And Homer's out there papering all the cars with the same thing. All right, Hunter.
Let's go with Shannon will help me with this one, too. Krusty, this camp was a nightmare. They fed us gruel, they forced us to make wallets for export, and one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh my god.
Well, actually, the bear just ate his hat.
Was it a nice hat?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Well, I'm taking you kids to the happiest place on earth. Tijuana!
Tijuana!
South of Season the four, border.
Episode one. It's Camp Krusty. Yeah, no, I think Shannon and I both have several on the, or I at least have several on this list, strictly because of a CD I know we both owned called "Songs in the Key of Springfield."
Love it. Yeah,
yeah, and that's where that version of "South of the Border" is on there. And
fucking
so they played that clip before that. Yeah, and they played a lot of the show clips before they would do those things. So that's why that one's always been stuck in my head. I love that episode. That also is the episode with the infamous.
We're gonna die, Lise.
Yeah, I meant soon, Bart.
So did I.
So did I. As they're like being whipped away from the cabin in the winds.
I also like when they're watching the news report, and Homer's like, please don't be the boy.
Don't let
him
be the boy.
And as soon as they show Bart, shit. His hair falls out and his stomach gets bigger.
That same episode is also the, you know, Marge is Lisa at Camp Granada. And now, Mr. Black.
That's Mr. the one I was going to point out. Yeah.
Can we call you Uncle Blackie?
No. I thought you said you broke their spirits. We did. And he smacks Jimbo. You broke nothing.
Oh, God.
That's great.
My third pick, before anyone else takes it, it's the reason we had the name Hot Feelings of Justice and Destiny. Season 4.
Oh, that was on my list, too.
Season 4, Episode 11, Homer's Phobia with John Waters. When Homer takes Bart to a steel mill to really straighten him up because he's afraid Bart's gay, and he meets
Hot
Roscoe.
Stuff coming through.
And all of a sudden, you just start hearing that, dirt, dirt. What is that? We work hard. We play hard. And it turns into the Anvil, the gay nightclub. Dad, why did you take me to a gay steel mill? I don't know.
I don't know. Also, Shannon, you're I believe like, I,
you're all
I'm looking at it, and I think that is season 8.
That sounds right. I thought season 4
yeah,
sounded
season
way
eight,
too early.
Episode 15. Because it was on my list as well.
Season 4, episode 11 then. Hold on. I'm like Hunter now. Did I get bad info somewhere?
Yeah, I keep getting...
Yes,
we're getting bad intel.
You said four...
Episode
11. Four, episode 11 is triple... Right home. That's Homer's triple bypass.
Well, that's a good episode too. That's a damn good episode.
Yeah, season 8, episode 15. Like I said, I had that on my list too. Because that whole episode is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he puts Bart in front of the cigarette ad, and he comes back later and he says, I don't know, I kind of want a cigarette. Sounds good. What's your brand? Anything Slim.
I mean, if you really want one
you
from Homer's triple bypass, you gotta go back to Dr. Nick. The knee bone's connected to the something. Something's connected to the red thing. Red thing's connected to my
wristwatch.
Uh-oh.
All right. Lindsay.
I am going to go with season 4, episode 12, Marge versus the monorail, the entire town meeting scene.
Okay.
Just the song, because I love it.
That's fair.
Because I also have a part from that particular episode. I'm not going to say anything yet because I want to save it, but it's my favorite part.
You may as well. I mean, that's what we're getting to now. You may as well just do it.
All right.
Because I've also got one.
Well, it's the part where Bart is like, he gives Homer another beer, and he's like, for the first time in my life, I look up to you, and one day I want to be a monorail. I want to be just like you. And Homer says, do you want to call yourself Homer Jr.? The kids can call you Hoju.
Call you Hoju.
There's also Spock in that episode. Well, I think my work here is done.
You didn't do anything.
Didn't I?
He just fucking beams
up. Teleports away.
Well, let me mark that one on the list. All right. Back to Jesse.
All right. This is from, I believe it's Treehouse of Horror 5, Season 6, Episode 6. No TV and no beer make Homer something, something.
Go crazy.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do. Like that's just a really, really good episode. Obviously, it's making fun of The Shining. It's a really good Treehouse of Horror. And like, that's just I don't know why that always tickles me.
I mean, I think that's the honestly that's the best
Rising.
That's the best Treehouse of Horror episode in the entire series.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's also the toaster. That's dad, the toaster. Your hands in there again.
Yes.
The fog that turns people inside out. Oh, it's seeping in.
Stupid cheap weather stripping.
They do the whole fucking dance.
Fog and you're inside out. Yeah. Fucking classic. All right, Shelby Earns.
22 short films about Springfield, season 7, yes. Episode 21. I just like the entire episode because it's a play on Pulp Fiction, and I just fucking love Tarantino films.
Yeah. You can buy this, what was it? You can buy this maze. A kid has already solved it. the answer is French fries.
Because there's also, there's steamed hams, right? I mean, that's steamed hams.
Well, don't forget Professor Frink. Professor Frink will make you laugh, will make you think.
With the thing and the... I am going to kill that monkey. No, that monkey's going to pay. That's what it is.
I even have my own song. Listen, hey. All right, Hunter.
If we're doing Treehouse of Horrors, let me throw in season 4, episode 5, as the zombie Flanders tries to eat Homer's brains and Homer shoots him. Bart says, hey, Dad, you killed the zombie Flanders. And Homer's reply is,
He
was a zombie?
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm John Smith. John Smith. I forget what the year was. My mistake.
18.
Yeah. My mistake.
Is this the end for zombie Shakespeare? Ugh.
Yeah, I like that one quite a bit.
And the part where
definitely
Krusty,
5 is the best Treehouse overall, but
when Krusty says, send your parents' brains or write parents' brains on a card and send it to
self-addressed fans of them alone.
I already did my Hoju, so I'm gonna skip it and we'll go to Lindsay.
Okay. I'm also going to do my Treehouse of Horrors, but mine's the first one, and it's the Raven skit, because that has just always stuck with me since I was a kid. Like, I just enjoy that one a lot.
So for Halloween last year, before we decided to do the Tales of... What was it called? Hallow's Eve Tales. Before we decided to do that, I really wanted to read the Raven and record it and post it on as an episode, just a short thing. And so I actually read through the entire thing. I acted it all out one night, and I was like, man, that sounds really good. Like, I don't know why. I feel like this sounds really good. And I ended up never doing it because we did the Hallow's Eve Tales. Maybe I'll do it this year because I also really love the Raven.
You could have just ripped that story straight out of my mind. I did the same thing back when I was working at radio, but I didn't have anywhere to, like, post it or do anything with it, really. Mm-hmm. And it exists as a file somewhere. I don't know. I even said it was some music, and it was a whole thing, and then...
We should do that this year. Like, one of us will be the narrator and the other one will be the main character.
Nevermore.
And then and Lindsay will be the Raven. Nevermore. Nevermore.
Nevermore.
Take thy beak from my heart. Attack thy frame from off thy door.
Yeah.
Nevermore.
Quoth the Raven. Nevermore.
Why you little? All right. Back last one, Jesse. Well, I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm shooting for 55 now.
I don't think this is the last one, is it?
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. Four.
It should be five.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. This last one, it's just become one of my life philosophies at this point. Which, I mean, if you're getting it from The Simpsons, may not be great. But season 18, episode 19. This is Homer Simpson. Oh, I have three kids and no money. Why can't I have no kids and three money? So that's how I'm trying to live my life. And that's the joke I make anytime somebody asks me, like, you guys plan on having kids? Like, oh, no, we decided to have no kids and three money.
He's got three money. Yeah.
And they regularly look at me like I'm an idiot.
Why would you want to risk? Why would you want to risk the three money? You know. All right, Shelby. Shelbino.
I don't know. I always thought Rosebud was a good one.
Was a good one.
Mainly because I think it's funny that Mr. If I'm remembering it correctly, it's been a really long time, but Mr. Burns, like, tries to take away Maggie's stuffed animal.
And can't. Because he's not powerful enough to take something away from a child.
You can't do it.
There's also the part where they're like, oh, well, we still have his little brother George. And it's just a little George Burns with a cigar. Bah, 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 bah. Trust me, when I'm old, this will be hilarious. And that episode always had the weirdest fucking ending to me, because it takes it skips ahead to the future where fucking
Smithers is a robot dog with just his head on it, and Burns is a head in a jar on, like, robot legs.
Yeah, it was so weird. Such a strange ending. All right, Hunter, last one.
Oh, if it's got to be the last one, then let's do season 5, episode 8. Homer's conversation with himself about what to do with $20, because he found $20, Shannon, and he wanted a peanut.
Well,
and his brain informed him
$20 can buy more peanuts.
He would like you to explain how. Well, it turns out money can be exchanged for goods and services. That whole he sits. If you remember, he sits down at first and says it's time to read some of the classics, and he just starts reading the ingredients on a bottle of honey roasted peanut.
You know, that part is also in the Songs of the Key of Springfield, but I don't remember what song.
That's why I remember it.
But what song is it before?
Well, it's got to be something right before, because that's Boy Scouts in the Hood is that episode. It's the one where Bart and Milhouse get the money, and then they get the all syrup squishy and pass out.
All syrup squishy?
Such a thing has never been done.
Springfield.
Maybe that's what it is. New York. New York is that away, man. Thanks, kid.
Yeah, I have several others here, but that's the one I'm going with. That's the more iconic one.
There's literally too many Simpsons moments to sit here all night, because, like, we could have made this the top 50 and probably still wouldn't have run out of things. My last one is my favorite. It's just my favorite part, and it's Hunter kind of talked about it earlier. It's the part in King Size Homer, which, according to this, is season 7, episode 7. I don't know if that's true anymore, but it's King Size Homer. I know that for sure. It's when Homer purposely gets fat so he can get workman's comp. It's like the lottery for idiots.
It says non-toxic.
It's when him and Bart are talking about
it. Yeah, towel rack.
You just see this beanbag sitting over there, and nothing is going on. And then all of a sudden, Lisa spins around and goes, "Dad!" And Homer screams this. I can't describe it, but it is the funniest shit to me. It is so fucking funny.
Those early Homer screams were so good. Like, that always tickled me.
I don't understand this, Hunter.
Keep reading. There's another message.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Damn it.
Aww.
And that's true. That is true.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Anywho, I threw an extra one in there. Just since the Hoju thing happened, I felt bad. I'm like, I kind of want to do one more. I'll keep it brief. I don't remember the episode, but it's the one where they're talking about Shelbyville, and they mention how Shelbyville threatened to spike the water, but they didn't have the guts to follow through. And then Marge is just sitting in the kitchen, and she's like, oh, the walls are melting again. And the turkey comes out of the oven and says, I think I'm quite done.
Oh, God, I can't believe that we – oh, never mind. Lindsay's got to go. I won't say it.
Yeah.
All right, Lindsay. My last one is
– flooding into my head.
Season 8, Episode 2, You Only Move Twice, the Hank Scorpio episode.
Such a good
but
episode.
I'm going with Lisa prancing through the woods and then just realizing she's allergic to everything and dying.
Especially the part where she sees the little chipmunk. She's like, oh, little chipmunk friend. And he just blows weeds into her, like the dandelion into her face.
Censored the face of all the fucking pollen and everything.
That's just a major fuck you, yeah.
Massively underrated bit from that is the hammocks discussion. Well, there's
yes. The hammock district.
Yeah. They're all in the hammock district.
Oh, well, don't forget also the part.
Shoes.
The part where he says, do you have any sugar? He goes, sugar, yeah. And he reaches in his pocket and just pulls out a handful of sugar. And the joke I didn't really get as a kid, he said, did you want some cream? And Homer goes, no.
They never pick Italy.
the Denver Broncos. What's wrong with owning the Denver Broncos? You don't understand football. All right. Well, that's a magical trip down Simpson Lane. We're going to cut the episode short tonight because I promise.
Less than an hour?
Yes, less than an hour. We did it. Hold on. Let's get the...
We did it. Get the banner.
We don't have to clap ourselves anymore. There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Give it up for us.
Yeah.
What? No. Stop.
How do you like us now? That's how Lindsay claps.
I like having Cody on demand. That's my favorite part. The Cody button. The Cody Vader.
Cody on demand.
Can you go change his name real quick?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But you can't change Cody's name because his name is Crab Jackson.
Shit.
Well, someone else can be Cody name. On demand.
The Cody get rid of Boomer Quanger, you're going to be Cody on demand.
Hey, it's kids. Done. Kids, we'll be back tomorrow for an all-new episode of Horse Time.
Horse.
Featuring all your favorite stallions. Will we talk about Chuck Tingle? Probably. That's another Simpsons part that always sticks in my head when he's talking about Krusty losing all of his money and he's like, but our infomercials are running 24/7. And he turns the TV on and it's what's his name? Boomer Esiason, I think was his name. Johnny Unitas. And the girl is sitting there using like a little Krusty Pez dispenser looking thing, and it's clipping the hair on her face. And he's like, "How do you like that, Krusty hair remover? It's Krusterific, Johnny Unitas. But is my upper lip supposed to bleed like this? Probably. All right. All this and more tomorrow on an all new Horse Time. For myself, for Jesse, for Lindsay, for Shelby, for Hunter, and for Bale, the Lord of Destruction. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Bale, take us out. Nope. It's just looking. Shelby, take us out.
Oh, he's running away. Can you believe Jesse lost a baby?
Oh, cat? Fuck. No, I'm done. Nope. It's over. Show's over.
Hey, June.